Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord this morning? Say, I'm saved. Say, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I want to do something different. Can you do? Does anybody have their Bibles with you today? I want you to lift up your Bible, whether it's a book. Because you know what? I want us to get used to bringing our Bibles to church, whether they're your iPads or whether they're your iPhone. It isn't, but I want people to have Bibles. And I think it's important that we know what's in our Bible. And I know Joel Osteen does a saying, and I'm going to tweak it a little bit. We're not going to do it exactly like him. But I think it's important that we understand. Can you repeat after me? Say, this is my Bible. So I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says that I am. Say, I'm about to hear and receive the incorruptible Word of God. Say, my heart is ready. My mind is alert. So speak to me, Lord. I'm listening. Amen. I want us to begin. I want us to start doing this every Sunday, and we'll get used to it. But it's important to know that it's God's word that works. When we enter into worship, worship is about connecting to God. Do you know that? It's not about, okay, Lord, I need. That's not worship. Worship is, Lord, I've come here to worship you, to praise you, Lord, to thank you, Lord. I've had an awesome week. I'm going to make a choice that I'm going to put you first, that my Sundays are going to be part of my tithe, not only financially, but me coming to church is going to be a part of my tithe to come and to acknowledge you, Jesus, so that the rest of my week, because we tithe, right? We bring in our first fruit. We bring in our first percentage so that we will trust God for the rest of it. And I want us to understand that's the same about coming to church. It's important to sit under the word. It is important to come into an atmosphere of worship and praise. It's important to fellowship with other believers. Can you say amen? Well, this morning, the title of the message is Reevaluate. And we're going to talk a little bit about worship. We're going to talk about David. David is one of my favorite characters, if we want to say characters, people in the Bible. Because, see, I can relate to David because I have a heart of a worshiper. But I make mistakes. Is there anybody out there that you make mistakes? Hallelujah. Well, first of all, before we go any farther, I want to just praise God. We have AC. We have the air conditioning fixed. And so praise the Lord. We're working on not freezing people out. We're trying to learn how to adapt this because we haven't had to do this for a couple years because we've got four units and two of them have been out for a couple years because it cost about $6,000 to replace each air conditioning unit because of all the new regulations. You have to change out the insides as well as the outside. So I'm determined. On my birthday, I heard the word success. And it wasn't necessarily for me. It was for Grace Fellowship. And I began to understand it's important that my church be successful so that we, as the people of the church, can be successful too. And so I was determined we got the air fixed in the back, and I was determined we were going to have air in the sanctuary before the end of summer. And I began to say, you know what, I'd be okay with three units. You know, I'll settle for three, but the Lord said, no, you're not going to settle for three. You need to call forth four of them. And so we've used this company before, and I've asked them, and I've tried to contact them, and they wouldn't respond. And what they were going to do is I was going to get two units, and I was going to even get credit. I was going to get a loan myself to get those in. And I was determined, you know, Lord, whatever it takes to cause my church to be successful. And I'm not saying it as mine as a pastor. I'm saying yours and mine, our church, so that we can come and sit in worship, that we can worship in cool air and not sweat. And so there was a company that we use at Fast Signs. Our new owner said, why don't you call the guy and have him come out and look at your air conditioning? I said, okay. So I called him and I said, hey, can you come and look at our air conditioning? He goes, yeah, where are you located? And he said, Oak Cliff. I said, Oak Cliff. He said, no, I'm not coming. I said, really? And he said, yes. Several years ago, I came to Oak Cliff and I was repairing a building or air conditioning a building and somebody broke in my truck and stole my stuff. I said, okay. So I hung up. A few minutes later, I called him back. I said, do you know of anybody that would come to Oak Cliff? He goes, no, but he says, I'm going to do it. See, the Lord has a way of making things happen. And he comes and he looks at it. See, I'm looking at about 10 grand or at least 5 grand just to get one more unit up. And so he's looking at him. He says, yes, these units are shot. He says, but I've got 2 used units that I will sell you for $450 a piece. For $900, he put in the air conditioning units so that we could have air conditioning in our church. We had $1,700 in savings and spent $900 for air conditioning with money left over. That is how God works. That is how God works. If you would stand to your feet, let's give God a big clap offering. That is how God works. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we praise you this morning. We praise you for the evidence of God trusting you. Trusting you, Lord. God is a good God, is he not? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Bow your heads this morning. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that it's going to accomplish what it set out to do. I thank you, God, you have a plan for this day. Lord, I thank you that I'm going to stay out of the way so that you can continue to have your way. So right now, I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you'll turn to the book of 2 Samuel, hallelujah, chapter 6, praise you, Jesus. We're going to start in verse 1. Reevaluate. This is my definition. I'm going to make it simple. Let's look at that thing again. That's my definition of reevaluate. Let's look at this situation again. You know, we all make mistakes. David makes mistakes, and we're going to read about that. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1, it says, and David again brought together out of Israel chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Balak of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim and that are on the ark. I want to just read, I'm going to go back and forth a little bit. You can just stay there. But in 1 Chronicles, David speaks to the people, his men and his community, says, let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul. The whole assembly agreed to do this because it seemed right to all the people. Now, before David decided to bring in the ark, the presence of God, Saul, who was the king before him, never, it says here, never sought after the presence of God or the ark to bring it in. See, that's what happens when we decide to do stuff in our own power, in our own might. Things happen, and not necessarily the way God intended them to, because we decided to do it our way and the way we think looks right. Do you understand where I'm going today? So anyway, we're going to go on, and we're still in 2 Samuel. It says in verse 3, since they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from the house of Abinadab, we'll just say from A's house, which was on the hill, Uzzah and Ahio, sons of A, were guarding the new cart and the ark of God on it. Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel was celebrating with all their might before the Lord with songs and with harps and lyres and tambourines and sistrums and cymbals. It looked right. They were doing the right thing. They were praising the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. They were giving honor to the Lord. Listen, they were doing what seems right And it goes on to say in verse 6, when they came to the threshing floor, Uzzah reached out and took hold of the ark of God because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Then David was angry because the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzzah, and to this day the place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obadiah, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obadiah, the Gittite, for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. My point is when you get God in your life, when you get Jesus in your life, when you get Jesus in your home, when you get Jesus in your business, when you get Jesus in your relationship, when you get Jesus there, the blessings come because of Jesus. Can you say amen? Have you ever noticed, even through trials and tribulations, Jesus, you could call on the name of Jesus. This morning we were having a wonderful time of worship, and the PowerPoint goes out. It freezes. Well, do we stop? No, we keep on worshiping and we keep on praising because Jesus is in the house. And so we get our focus off of what's broken and onto the Lord. Then it doesn't matter about PowerPoint. It doesn't matter if I know the words. What matters is I could sit here with my hands up and not say a word and just worship the Lord and praise the Lord and know that the Lord is here and I'm in his presence. Can you say amen? So David made a mistake, and I'm going to read out of 1 Chronicles in verse 15. You don't have to turn here. I want to prove a point. It says, after David had constructed the buildings for himself in the city of David, he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one but the Levites might carry the ark of God. Listen, David got the revelation. Wait a second. The ark wasn't supposed to be moved or put on a cart. It was supposed to be carried by priests. So David realized that he made a mistake. And David realized that the blessing was on the house of Obadiah. He realized that the blessing was with God and that he needed God in his city so that the blessing would come to his city. So David made a mistake, but David reevaluated how, wait a second, I made a mistake. How can I get the blessing of God into my city? And the Lord spoke to him, the priest must carry the ark. So David realized that he made a mistake. He had to reevaluate. I just want to read the rest of it. It says, then David said, no one but the Levites may carry the ark of God because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever. You know what I loved about the choir this morning? We have practice now twice a week. They're being prepared. They're being skilled to sing before the Lord, to usher the presence of the Lord into our service, to usher the presence of the Lord into our building. And it's in the word, it says that people were skilled. The worshipers were skilled. They practiced. They prepared. And see, it doesn't just fall on the choir, but we, as the people of God, can prepare before we come to church by in the morning. Lord, I'm waking up and I'm going to go to church and I'm going to praise you, Lord. I want to usher your presence in on the way to church. I want you to take the wheel, Jesus, on the way to church. So when I get to church, I don't have to get all prayed up. I don't have to tear down strongholds. I don't have to cast out demons. I've already been worshiping and praising the Lord, and the Lord has been taking care of those things. Can anybody say amen? So going back to 1 Samuel. So now King David was told the Lord had blessed the household of Obadiah and everything he has, Pastor Jan, not only his house, but everything that he has. We are children of the Most High God. We are supposed to be blessed with everything that we have because we serve a good God. We are not supposed to be the last. We're supposed to be the first. The world cannot be the ones that look blessed. We are the children of the Most High God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He is our brother. He is our Lord. He is our master. He is our friend. He has brought us out. He brought us out of poverty so that we don't stay in poverty. He brought us out of sickness so that we don't live in sickness. He brought us out to take us in. He brought them out of Egypt to take them into the land flowing with milk and honey where the goods were. Can you say amen? Say, I'm moving forward. Say, I'm moving out. Say, I'm moving on out. Say, I'm moving on out. So David, has anybody made any mistakes in here? Anybody? I have. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But you know what? The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He says, here's the better way. If you want to see good results, do it this way. God doesn't give up on you or me when we make mistakes. He doesn't give up on us. He shows us the way out. He shows us the way through. He shows us to the place that he has for us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obadiah to the city of David with rejoicing. See, first he was mad because Uzzah was struck down. He was mad because God's anger broke against him. But David realized, oh, the priests are supposed to do this. David got excited. We as Christians, when we make mistakes, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, here's how you do it. Then we should get excited. Oh, I know what I did wrong. And I don't beat myself up, Rebecca. I just say, I made a mistake. I decided to do it Tony's way. And look what happened. It's never God's fault. It is never, ever, 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 never, never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever God's fault. You know, when I was dealing with this air conditioning and I had to guard my heart, I'm going, why is the AC people not calling me back? The Lord blocked it because he had something better. Can anybody say amen? Just because you don't get it the way you think you should, there's something better coming. Yeah, I would have put us in debt. I would have come under debt. But the Lord says, no, I have something better. I blocked that avenue so that this other avenue would come forth and so that I would be glorified, that my people would praise me. I remember I came in on, I think it was Wednesday, they put it in. He came on Tuesday or whatever, yeah, I think Tuesday, and the next day they came and put it in. Praise the Lord. I walked in the sanctuary, and I felt cold air. And I'll tell you what, I praise God. I haven't felt cold air in the sanctuary for the last 2 or 3 summers. And I was looking at the thermostat. That's the first time it was at 70, and it's not really 70. It might feel, but I said, I haven't seen that thing at 70 for 2 or 3 summers. I praise the Lord because the Lord made a way. For somebody, that may not be big, but that's God's evidence. He's able to bless everything, everything, everything that you have. The world needs to see God blessing everything that you have so that many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Say everything. Say everything. He's blessing everything. She wasn't waiting for me to say, repeat. She's everything. Turn to somebody and say, he's blessing everything that you have. Everything that you have. Everything that you have. Everything that you have. But I don't see it. Well, stop looking and start believing. Then you will see it going on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So in verse 13, it says, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. 6 steps. That was a long journey. A lot of blood flowing. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. You know, people are going to despise you. Have you ever noticed that? They see you're radical. What do you mean you're praising the Lord because you have 70-degree temperatures? Because you know what? We have stood, and every Sunday I got up at 6 o'clock to come and cool down the sanctuary and the fellowship hall because I wanted to be cool for the congregation, at least as cool as I can get it. But then I could get up this morning and just go flip on the air condition and be about the Lord's business, and the Lord took care of that. That's why I rejoice, and I did it because I love the Lord and I wanted to be a blessing to the church. That's why I did it, but I rejoice in the Lord that I don't have to get up at the crack of dawn to flip on the switches anymore. The Lord has already taken care of it. So yes, I'm going to praise the Lord with all my heart, with all my might. Yes, it means a lot. Something that you're believing God for might be a bigger deal to you than somebody else, but rejoice in the Lord even so. Moving on. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings, he blessed the Lord in the name. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave them a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites. Both men and women and all the people went to their homes. There was a threefold blessing because he brought the presence of God into the city, that everybody in the city got a threefold blessing. Hear me out. This is the key to your blessing. Usher God's presence into your life, into your home. He will change your circumstances and your situations. Can you say amen? Just write this down. In 1 Peter 2:9 in the Amplified, this is one of my favorite, as most of you know. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What is it saying here? You are a priest. You are a chosen person that you can carry in the ark of the Lord. You can carry in the presence of the Lord and not be struck dead because of the blood of Jesus that covers you. And he made us righteous. I am the righteousness of God. I am no longer a sinner saved by grace. I am the righteousness of God. I was a sinner saved by grace, but my name changed. Your name changed. You are no longer a sinner. You are no longer a nobody. You are no longer a this or a that, but you are a child of the Most High God. You can usher in the presence of God. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for a pastor. You're waiting for Benny Hinn. You're waiting for this one. You can usher the presence of God in by just lifting up your hands and saying, Lord, I worship you. I praise you. Lord, I magnify you, Lord. Lord, this situation, what you did for the church, you will do for me. What you did for Pastor Jan or Pastor Kay, you'll do for me. You're no respecter person. If you bless, if you bless Marissa, then I'm in place for a blessing. Hallelujah. If you bless Fabian, I get blessed too because I am the part of the body of Christ. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm part of the children of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am not going to be poor. I am not going to be sick. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be rejected. I'm not going to be any of this anymore because I have made a decision. I am moving to the front of the bus because I am a child of the Most High God. I am a chosen generation. I have been brought out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, I'm so blessed. Say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Says, but you are a chosen race. My race has been chosen. Your race, your communities, your culture, whatever it is, your people are part of your race. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't live as a victim anymore. I don't talk about how I came through. I talk about how God brought me through, and I talk about where I'm at today. I am in a place of victory. I am victorious. But remember what happened in 1943? No, I wasn't born yet. And you know what? People are still living the past. The past is gone. Can anybody tell me 1945 is gone? I'm just picking a date. We got to stop looking back, and we've got to look ahead, because God has a good plan, a good future for us, and we keep on looking back. Oh, man, you can't believe what my mother did to me. You can't believe what something happened. Get over it. Get moving forward. God has brought you out of that stuff. Start living today into your future, knowing that the Lord has brought you this far. He'll take you all the way in. Can you say amen? Just write this down. James 4:7. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Well, I've been resisting the devil. I've told the devil every morning, get away from me. Well, what are you doing about your relationship with God? What do you mean? It says, submit to God, and then resist the devil, and then he will flee. Then it says, come near to God, and he'll come near to you. Can you say amen? See, this isn't a hard walk. I believe Christians have made this so hard for people to get victory because, you know what, nobody's willing to submit to God. They're going to yell at the devil all day long, but they won't submit to God. They won't have a relationship with Jesus. And write this down. In Acts 15:16, it says, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for the ages. What is he saying? Gentiles were the outcasts. Is there anybody an outcast in here? The Lord has provided for you and I, whether you're a reject, an outcast, or whatever. God provided. He says, I'm going to rebuild David's fallen tent. What is he saying? I want my people to praise me. I want my people to worship me. He says, I don't care who you are, where you've been. Just start to worship me and praise me. God is rebuilding the fallen tent of David. David was a worshiper. David praised the Lord. David got victory over the giant because he was a worshiper. The only reason that stone went past the armor bearer, went into this little hole in the helmet, is because David was a worshiper. He worshiped out in the fields, and God knew he was a worshiper. And I believe it was his worship that guided that stone into Goliath's forehead to kill that giant. His worship, because he says, I don't come against you with spears and javelins, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. He was worshiping the Lord on his way as that stone, as he was preparing to fling that stone. He was worshiping the Lord. In his mind, in his heart was worship. And when he released that, he released his worship, and the Lord guided that stone and brought down his giant. If you need your giants to come down, you begin to worship the Lord. Stop thinking about it so much. Stop saying, I got to do this. I got to do that. Just begin to worship the Lord. The Lord will show you what to do. God is saying in Acts, he says it in Amos as well, but he's reminding us in the book of Acts that he's going to rebuild the fallen tent of David, the worshiping tent. The tent was pitched so the presence of God would be brought into the tent. And they worshiped the Lord 24/7. They were skilled at worshiping. They didn't just half-heartedly worship. They were prepared to go to the tent and worship the Lord. Is there anybody who wants to be prepared to worship the Lord? The Lord is preparing you to worship him, to usher in his presence. In Amos, write this down, in 9:3, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. When you read this in Amos, what he's saying is he's going to restore the fortunes. David was very wealthy. David, was it the queen came? No, that was Solomon, his son. But it was passed down from David. The blessing passed down into Solomon. The blessing flows down. David was a very wealthy man. In all, David was a man who made mistakes, but repented. David was chosen by God because he was a man after God's own heart. You and I have been chosen by God because we have a heart after God. He's not looking for perfect people. He's just looking for somebody to say, "Here I am, Lord." In the book of Isaiah, remember Isaiah says, "Here I am, I'll go. Use me, send me, Lord." So this morning, reevaluate. Reevaluate your life. Reevaluate your situations and circumstances. God wants you to be victorious. God wants you to have what you need and overflow. God wants the world to see that there's a distinction between those who serve him and those who do not. And if you are one of those who serve him, then there needs to be distinction between you and those who do not. You should be blessed because of the distinction that because you serve the Lord. Reevaluate. In the last couple years, I've been doing a lot of reevaluation, waiting. And I've thought, how does this work, Lord? Or why didn't it work? Where did I miss it? And then the Lord would say, "Here, this will take care of it." And I began to step over and back into that path. And I began to see results. I began to see the breakthrough. I began to see the victory. My son, I've been bragging about him. He's had the word of God hidden in his heart for all those years. And then he began to go to a day camp at Salvation Army. And they began to minister the word of God to my son, who stirred up the word of God inside him. I have never seen him worship like he's been worshiping. They went to another Salvation Army, and all the young kids, and they went to a worship service, and the teacher said, "We have never seen anything like this, how he generally worships the Lord and how he bows down." So see, the Lord can put you in a place. The Lord can show you this is where you go. The Lord can take you somewhere you thought you would never go. And the Lord will reveal his glory and change your circumstances and your situation. God is able. Can you say amen? So if you're able to stand to your feet, stand to your feet this morning. Reevaluate. It doesn't hurt that bad. It's just the attitude of your heart. "Well, God, I don't want to change." Well, God said, "Don't change. Just the way I am. Well, be the way you are." How far is that getting? How's it working for you? That's just how I am. I'll tell you what, the Lord's been getting in my business. I don't know about yours. This is just the way I am. The Lord says, "Too bad. That's not my intention for you, the way you're going to be." He says, "I got better things for you." So with eyes closed and heads bowed this morning, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here today that you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, and today you want to ask Jesus into your heart, if that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Today, is there anybody here? I know I ask this a lot, but you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, I want you to lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There are several people raise their hands. Would we all raise our hands this morning? It wouldn't hurt for us all to pray, would it? Say, "Lord Jesus, here I am. Use me for your glory. I know that you know my heart. And I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for doing it my way. And today, I want to do it your way. And I'm making a choice today to do it your way. Thank you, Jesus. If you need healing this morning, why don't you just lift up your hands right where you're at. Right where you're at. The Lord wants to remind me of somebody here. The Lord says, you've asked and you've received. He says, now thank me from this point on, this moment on. He says, don't ask me again to heal you. I've already taken care of it. Every time you ask me to heal you for the same thing, it proves to me that you don't have faith that I've healed you. So I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. And for this new situation, this new circumstance, I ask you, Lord, to touch it. And I believe that you've got it taken care of. And from this moment on, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to praise you. Depression, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Oppression, I curse you in the name of Jesus. Tormenting spirits that mess with people's minds, I'm going to bind them right now. Just everybody lift up your hands this morning. We're going to do some warfare right now in Jesus' name. Tormenting spirits, I'm giving you your marching orders right now. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Every one of you demonic forces of tormenting spirits, I bind you. I take you all captive right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm taking captive right now. There's not going to be one tormenting spirit left out of this. All that you know who I'm talking to, you tormenting spirits right now, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All of you in the name of Jesus. Now that you're bound in the name of Jesus, I cover you with the blood of Jesus, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus to never come back and torment that person ever again. Today, who the Son has set free is free indeed. You have been set free once and for all from tormenting spirits. From this moment on, when they will come to you, you tell them you've already been sent out. There's no trespassing on this house. The Lord says, I'm the lifter of your heads. He says, I brought you up out of that pit. He says, what happened in your childhood, what happened in your past, the Lord says, it's under the blood. He says, I have made a choice, the Lord says, to put those sins into the sea of forgetfulness. The Lord says, I have made a choice never to remember them again. And you have been created in my image and my likeness. And from this moment on, you must choose not to remember the past anymore, but to move forward, learn from your past, but don't stay in your past. This morning, I thank you that our children are blessed. I thank you, Lord, that we are blessed. Grace Fellowship is successful and blessed. I take authority over headaches right now. In the name of Jesus, that is a spirit of infirmity. Today, I take authority over headaches. And I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus, and I cover it with the blood of Jesus, and I cast it out in the name of Jesus, never to come back. Diabetes, I take authority over you right now. Come on, we're going to take care of some stuff this morning before it. Diabetes, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of infirmity, and I plead the blood of Jesus over you, and I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Cancer, in the name of Jesus. Cancer, I curse you in the name of Jesus. The Lord says, curse the cancer in the name of Jesus. He says, don't bind it, curse it. Curse it in the name of Jesus. I curse every cancer cell in the name of Jesus. And I say, you must die. And where the cancer cells were, God is causing a new creation of new blood cells. Deafness, those who are dealing with deafness, in the name of Jesus, I speak to your ear canals to open up, your eardrums be healed in the name of Jesus. Sight, eyesight, For those of us that wear glasses, I'm believing right now, in the name of Jesus, there's being a healing coming over our eyes right now. I thank you, Lord, for the healing of our eyes right now. Hallelujah. The pupils, every bit of the eye right now, being healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, for anything else I didn't mention, I know that you know, Lord God, and you're taking care of it. And so from this moment on, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we exalt you. Lord, I thank you that we've entered into this season of to reevaluate. And that, Lord, you're showing us how to go forth. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed. Please stay for lunch.